Hey, it's Chaz and AJ in the morning.
Hey, what's going on?
Thanks for listening to the podcast. Here are some of the best parts from today's show.
Listen to it, please. Thank you.
And please subscribe, share, like, comment, all that stuff.
All of it, please.
Thank you. After years of searching, the U.S. military finally tracked down the leader of ISIS over the weekend and took him out. What's his name? It's like Al-Baghdadi.
Al-Baghdadi, yes.
What's his first name? It's not Al.
I'm Al-Baghdadi. How about Kaboom?
I enjoyed all weekend hearing people mispronounce it.
Oh, yeah.
Al-Bag-Boogie. Al-Bag-Bibby.
Al-Bag-Boogie.
Babadoo-Doody. Al-Bag-Boogie-Boogie.
Al-Tube-Stink-Boogie.
I'm like, I want a montage of this. Yeah, what's his first name?
I'm looking up.
Al-Bag-Boogie.
He's like Abu or something like that.
It's like Abu Al-Baghdadi.
Yeah, something like that.
Right.
Yeah, Abu or Al-Kazam or Abracadabra, yeah. Simsalabim.
President Trump made the announcement in a press conference yesterday morning.
U.S. Special Operations Forces executed a dangerous and daring nighttime raid in northwestern Syria and accomplished their mission in grand style. The U.S. personnel were incredible. I got to watch much of it. No personnel were lost in the operation, while a large number of Baghdadi's fighters and companions were killed with him. He died after running into a dead-end tunnel, whimpering and crying and screaming all the way. The compound had been cleared by this time, with people either surrendering or being shot and killed. 11 young children were moved out of the house and are uninjured. The only ones remaining were Baghdadi in the tunnel, and he had dragged three of his young children with him. They were led to certain death. He reached the end of the tunnel as our dogs chased him down. He ignited his vest, killing himself and the three children. His body was mutilated by the blast. The tunnel had caved in on it in addition. But test results gave certain immediate and totally positive identification. It was him.
Man. A lot of details there. His
body was
mutilated. It's like, well, we kind of know what a vest will do.
Yeah, you know, but extra effect, you know.
Right. Boy, does he know how to rub salt in the wound?
Yes, he does.
He was whimpering and crying.
Exactly. It's like the end of The Apprentice.
Imagine being the guy who was in charge of finishing that tunnel. It's like, son of a. I was going to get to it this weekend, too.
I told you.
Promise. I was all weekend. That was my Sunday project. I was not going to watch any football. I was just going to get that damn tunnel done.
Well, thank God they blew him up because I'm in such trouble otherwise.
Yeah, right.
I told you how to
God, that would have been bad if he lived because I didn't finish the tunnel.
You'd have been screwed. You'd have been a support.
I wonder if they were telling him, oh, yeah, the tunnel's done.
Oh,
it's great. Well, you're going to. No problem.
I'm just putting a couple of...
Really? Because it seems like you got that done pretty fast. Yeah. Yeah, hard work. Focus.
You know, there's
perseverance. I think I deserve a raise, actually.
Yeah.
You know.
We're never going to need the tunnel.
Right.
Just tell him it's done.
Right.
What the hell?
He has a little sign that says to be continued when he walks in.
Or like just a fake door painted on the end.
No.
Opening soon.
Yeah. Watch for a grand opening. He painted to look like the tunnel to continue, so he's like ran into it, boom, like Bugs Bunny.
What's that?
He painted so it looks like you're like continue on, like, you know, remember Bugs Bunny?
Right, they would paint the black.
Right.
To make it look like,
hey, boom!
He runs into it. Yeah. Boom!
You'll never catch me, you put out! Son of bitch!
That's why he was whimpering and crying. He ran into a wall that it was painted black, and he thought it was...
What the hell? The Roadrunner ran right through it!
Oh, wouldn't that be the worst, though? It's like, oh, these guys, I'm going to go down here, and I'm going to pop out. Yeah, I'm going to... I'm going to come out into another cottage.
Exactly. Yeah.
Like, wait, what? They didn't finish the... he's a bad dude.
Yeah.
Bad dude. Brutally murdered so many people in the worst way.
Oh, yeah.
He took one pilot and put him in a cage, poured gas on him, lit him on fire.
Yeah, I remember that, yeah.
Beheaded people.
Yeah, that one guy. Yeah, live on their television there.
Oh, yeah, how many times have you, you'd see the video, they would stop it before the worst moment, but you'd see a bunch of people, like, in orange jumpsuits, all just on their knees, lined up.
Yep.
Like, oh, this is, come on.
Yeah.
So, good for him. Got what he deserved.
Bye-bye.
It was Delta Force Rangers.
All right.
They had to involve Russia, Turkey, Syria, Iraq, and the Kurds. No Democrats.
None.
Right.
None.
He was asked about that in the press conference. Like, yeah, we didn't want any leaks.
Exactly, yeah. Yeah, you guys cannot keep a secret.
Yeah, apparently, you guys can't keep a secret.
No,
so,
yeah.
Planning started about 2 weeks ago. And they took off from our base in western Iraq, that base that the president visited in December, around Christmas time.
Okay.
8 helicopters flying low for more than an hour.
Wow.
And they always send a couple extra helicopters in case one gets hit. As they were flying there, they were getting small arms fire, but they think that it wasn't coordinated. It was just people who don't like helicopters in the region,
right?
You know?
Or it might have been a baby reveal. Gender reveal. Look, it's a boy.
Yeah. They get there, and I don't know how they knew the doors were booby-trapped. I don't know if they just assumed that. And they entered the house by blowing a giant hole in the wall.
Nice. See? No knocking door here.
See, now if you want tunnels made, ask us.
Right.
Yeah.
We'll blow holes and stuff.
You're not gonna hear. Hello, who is it? Yes, I'm selling magazines.
That's the best end for one of these thugs, you know, because it's so psychological. First you hear the helicopters.
Yeah. Right?
You know, then you hear random gunfire.
Yep.
And you know your guys are being, it's like Scarface, you know, outside the mansion at
they're
the end.
Wiped out.
Like you just know these are the last few seconds of your life. And it, good for you.
Yep.
Right? It's better than just you're sitting there watching football game and then boom.
Exactly.
Gone. What am I doing with these wings on? Or why am I down here with all these flames?
Exactly right. I was watching the Packers on TV. What happened?
Yeah, right.
All of a sudden, boom. I'm watching Aaron Rodgers drive past and then go boom. I was saying, nice mustache, you idiot. Boom.
So they chased him into the dead end tunnel and he detonated a suicide vest, killed 3 children.
It's a shame about the kids.
Yeah.
It's a shame about the kids.
They had nothing to do with
it. Nothing to do with it.
The DNA 100% confirmed. So the words that they sent to the president were 100% confirmed jackpot.
Nice.
Wow.
See that?
Like, jackpot?
Jackpot.
What, are they gambling over there?
Oh, the word jackpot. Jackpot.
I didn't know they had casinos.
Mm.
Trump said he may release the video so the world can see what a coward this guy was.
Cool.
That he was not a hero, that he died a coward. There was one military dog chasing him that sustained life-threatening injuries, so we don't know on that yet. There were 2 minor injuries from service members. They've already been released and are back on duty. The mission killed 9 people, including al-Baghdadi. He had a $25 million bounty on his head, and Trump put that on his head, and as soon as that happened, it was all of a sudden, hey, anyone see al-Baghdadi?
Right, yeah.
Nope.
Yeah.
Iraqi officials passed info onto the U.S. of al-Baghdadi's whereabouts. They got the information from the wife of an Iraqi aide to al-Baghdadi.
Look at that. See that?
As well as Baghdadi's brother-in-law.
Now, do they get the money, like cash or check-free?
I think they probably do.
They
right?
do.
They get the money.
Tax-free?
Probably,
okay,
right?
Wondering.
They don't live here, so it's not like income tax here. That would be a good trick on them.
Right, don't have to come here, though.
Let's see, there's this tax, there's that tax. We're gonna just say you live in Connecticut, and then we're going to add these taxes, and here you go, 59 cents.
Exactly, right.
So a neighbor heard the, commotion and ran over and saw the house was collapsed. There was a burning car outside with 2 bodies in it.
Ooh.
And then there was a 3rd charred body in a metal container.
Wow.
It's like, if I'm running security, I don't want to be in the car outside. No. I don't want to be in a metal container outside. Because, no. Special Force are like, all right, you guys got to go. Sorry.
Exactly.
We're not capturing you. You guys got to die.
Exactly.
Immediately. No questions.
Way.
Yeah.
You're in the way.
You're
no
in a car
escape.
With a gun.
No escape. No getaway.
Go on. You're done.
Right.
We're not talking to you about anything.
Nope.
You're done.
Nope.
Done, done, done. Done,
nope.
Done, 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 done.
Exactly.
So, very proud of our U.S. military forces and a job well done. That's a very, very dangerous job. They make it look easy.
Yep.
Because of all the training and the commitment.
Practices and
rehearsals. And the practices. And yep. That is not an easy feat. I mean, this
no
is
way.
A guy with a $25 million bounty. Who is one of the worst terrorists in the history.
Yep.
Hey, you earned that for a reason.
Yeah.
Yep.
Exactly. So.
And he earned what he got for a reason,
He got what he deserved. And I just loved that he was running down a tunnel, and then it just ended.
Yep.
And it was like, this is how your life's going, buddy.
He fell for a knock-knock joke. Knock-knock. Who's there? U.S. Forces.
So I was emailing back and forth with Mike, the neurosurgeon, over the weekend. Remember Mike?
Yeah.
Mike, you had a story about batteries and how they get the batteries to the terrorists for these vests.
Right. Morning, everybody.
Good morning.
In Afghanistan, I was there in 2011 with an infantry battalion. And so we were on a patrol one time in Helmand province. And, they're highly mobile on these mopeds and little motorcycles, like kind of motorcycle you rode in high school, these little 175 things, and they're buzzing around doing who knows what. I mean, it shows you how these sort of primitive insurgents can fight the most powerful military in the world with very little equipment.
Yeah.
So you see these guys riding around, and if you can get at them, you stop them and you see what they're carrying. So this one time you get this kid, he's, I don't know, 13 years old or something. He's flying by on one of these bikes. You stop him. And so he's got like a couple of boxes, I don't know, 15, 20 D-cell batteries. Now, they use these batteries to power the IEDs. The way they do it is pretty smart. There's no metallic signature in the pressure plate. Could be made out of wood, anything that's not going to show up when we try to detect it. And so that has the ignition switch. When something drives over it or person steps on it, it contacts it. But there has to be some kind of power source, right, to ignite a spark to blow up the fertilizer, which is really what they make the bomb out of. So what they'll do is they'll put these, a battery device hundreds of yards away, and they can change the batteries. One day you can take the battery out. So in other words, a vehicle drives over this road today, it's fine, but tonight they go stick a battery in and tomorrow it blows up.
Oh, wow.
Gotcha.
So they need these batteries. So you got this kid with tons of batteries. You know what they're going for.
It's obvious.
And you say to the kid, so what are you doing with all these batteries? Oh, my uncle's got a new radio. Takes a lot of batteries.
Really?
No, just give us the batteries.
Yeah, we'll take the batteries.
Yeah,
thank you very much.
Appreciate it.
You know what I was surprised by? How fast they were able to confirm that it was him.
I was just reading about that.
Yeah.
That's interesting you bring that up. That's very interesting technology. So in 2011, if you remember when they killed Osama, it took several days for them to really confirm him. But the DNA tech has gotten so advanced, the special forces carry these kits. So they can basically do it right on the scene. And, they can train almost anyone to use the kit.
Wow.
And the kits are getting smaller and smaller. Apparently, they're getting down to, about 5 pounds. So it's not much to carry.
So they
so
had to have...
probably a corpsman, or they have a tech to basically, a medic if it's Army or not us Marines or Navy, it's corpsman.
They had to have
carrying
his...
the stuff.
They had to have his DNA before that.
Yes, they did. I was reading that they got some DNA because one of his daughters voluntarily gave DNA samples. So they had something of him beforehand.
This is what the problem with having so many kids.
Yep.
You have 80 kids. One of them's going to turn on you.
Yeah, one's going to feel special. Yeah,
you know?
Special.
So they had his DNA. They bring the kit. He detonates the bomb. The tunnel collapses on him. They dig out the tunnel
yep.
so they can get a hold of him. They collect all of the pieces that were left of him.
Right.
They had his head. Did you read about that? They had his head and did a biometric scan on his head. But to double check him, of course, obviously the DNA is better. But they had his head blown off, and they did a biometric scan on his head. So the biometric scans are things we've been using for quite a while. Either they do retinal scans on people, of course, or a face scan. I mean, heck, your cell phone can read your face now.
So but his face was altered so his from head, the blast, no? Wouldn't his face have been altered a little bit from the blast?
I would think pretty altered, but, you know, maybe just blew his guts out, you know, blew his chest and his stomach, his head came off. And
surprising.
Who knows, maybe his face wasn't too bad.
Yeah. Right. Because if I wear sunglasses, like, my phone won't read my face all the time.
Really?
Yeah, I don't think his sunglasses stayed on.
Yeah, right. You're right. That was probably the one thing that helped, right?
Exactly.
His glasses came right off.
Yep.
Plus, he was in the tunnel. It probably wasn't that well lit.
Exactly.
He didn't need them.
No. Yeah, that's true. So, all right, Mike. Thanks for coming on, brother. Appreciate it. Thank
all
you for
right,
your
guys.
Service.
Yeah, thank you, man.
Yeah, have a good day. Thank
all right, you.
You
too. Freak Week begins now with Ray Sawyer, founder of Dark Angel Paranormal Investigators of Connecticut. Good morning.
Good morning.
Morning.
He brought Dunkin' Donuts.
Yes.
Which is not scary.
Scary good.
Oh, my God. Mm. Ashley just extended her neck out like a giraffe.
Oh, my gosh. Like, donuts.
Did somebody say food?
Donuts.
Yeah. What is this first clip we're going to hear, Ray?
The first clip this morning, this happened in a church, in the basement of a church in Agawam. One of my female investigators was setting up the tape recorder along with the cameras. And this is what came out of this.
Okay.
This is the basement, First Baptist Church in Agawam, 521, camera number 2.
That was bingo for a second.
I'm sorry, AJ, can you just talk over the clip again? We'll just do that all morning.
I did it right before she started talking. I got it
not really. That'll be good. We'll play a game. AJ will just talk over these clips.
Right.
Right.
I think I scare him.
All right, can you back it up? What was said?
You'll hear an older woman say, please call me.
Please call me.
And we have no idea why.
All right, go ahead.
521, camera number 2.
Please call me.
And this was in a cellar by herself, and she never heard it.
Are you sure she's saying call?
That's what happens when you wait on a man.
All right,
yeah, I boosted it a little bit. Let's see if this makes it clear.
Oh, that is call me.
Yes. With a voice like that, don't even call. Please call me.
No, and you got to remember, it's a church.
We had a good time. We had a good time.
Yeah, we had a good time, but it's right. Over.
When she said I-20, I thought it was bingo.
Ugh.
I got the heebie-jeebies.
Please call me.
Don't be so desperate, for Christ's sake.
You gotta give me the number.
Yeah, like, really. Yeah,
the number.
I said, hire you a party once. It's all.
Man, what kind of charges would it be to call the other side?
Roaming
the
charges.
Afterworld.
Yes, roaming charges.
The afterlife.
Yes.
Ugh. It's probably just a nun anyway. So.
You think so?
Probably.
Please call me.
Being in a church.
But why would she be haunting people? Wouldn't she? What? Don't nuns?
Wait, what
go
do you mean?
Right,
probably. Shouldn't you know this? You're an investigator. Hold on, Ray. Relax. We'll go figure it out.
No.
There you go. So, did you ever get to the bottom of that one, Ray? Did you figure out?
Did you ever call
what
her?
That was? Did you make the call? What happened?
No, we didn't make the call, but we did find out that there was the nuns. Frequented the building all the time, and there was one that passed away in the building.
Oh.
Because it was attached to the nuns were attached to the church.
Gotcha. Right. Yeah.
And she had passed away, but she passed away in the church, which is where we were.
Oh, right. So there you go.
So we have some cable again.
And then what do you do to release the
Yeah, open the door or something like that.
I have nothing to do with that part.
Oh, you don't do that part?
I go in and investigate.
Is that part of the relocation?
Wait, I got the recording.
Yeah, no.
Yep,
you want,
she's there.
Yeah, you want dark.
Goodbye.
Yeah, you want
this
dark.
This isn't Ghostbusters, okay? I don't have some fancy box to take this stuff out.
No. Yes.
No. Yeah, you got a ghost.
You
but you don't charge anything.
No, I do not.
That's that's pretty cool.
Yeah, you want
ghost
dark?
Box at somebody else. You box want of it. Donuts, that's race. Yeah, donuts. That's what I'm talking about.
I bring the
about.
Donuts, I record, I'll tell you, she's there, and then
after
good
that,
luck.
It's your job.
It's your job. It's on you.
All right, what's this next clip we're going to hear?
The next clip you're going to hear, this is, you'll hear the one of the relatives speaks in Polish, trying to talk to his grandmother who has passed away, but you'll hear a woman's voice say, "Get out of the car." The funny thing with this was the woman whose voice came through had passed away in a car accident down the road from the house. Mm. And everybody, when she was in the car, it started on fire and she died in a fire in the car.
Mm. Oh.
And they kept telling her, "Get out of the car." And this is what came out of from the voice.
Jeśli babcia Zosia jest w tym pokoju, to włącz proszę światło na stole.
Oh.
Thanks, babci.
And did you hear that when it happened?
No. No, not
it's
at all.
It's when you're going back
it's
over
when
it.
You go back over the information.
Right.
Ugh.
Ugh. That was kind of scary. Yep. Spooky.
Ugh. Get out of the car.
Yeah,
people
the car.
Are screaming, get out of the car. Ugh.
Yes.
And get out of the car. That's the worst death.
I've heard that before, but it was said more forcefully. Like, get out of the car! Get out of the car!
Here's with guns drawn.
Right.
Yeah, that part sucked.
Oh, jeez.
Yeah. Yeah, it was cops, though.
Hold on. Can you play that again?
Yeah, I boosted the sound a little bit, too. So here it is, just isolated.
Oh,
that's so creepy. That one will stay with me for a while.
I said, please,
did you just
me?
Laugh at that?
Yes, I did.
What's the matter with you?
I said, please. When I listen to these tape recordings, I do this. I laugh about them because to me, it's just
work.
They're trying to talk to us and they're trying to give us information. And I didn't know about the woman in the car.
Well, I found
after
it creepy.
I heard this.
Yeah. And that's kind of sad. Yeah. Ray's laughing at her.
No, right. Ray's been around the block a couple times.
Yeah, I've been here. I've been doing this for almost 18 years.
Yeah.
So.
Hey. What are we going to hear next, Ray?
The next one is one that AJ went through a table tipping we were doing in Florida. And I walked away from the table, and I was told that I had a little girl attached to me. When I walked away from the table, this is what came through on my table.
Oh, so wait. Now go back to the AJ part of this.
AJ was, we had done a table tipping here in the studio.
Yeah. Okay.
Right.
And
this was back in a few years back in the conference room.
Right.
Right. Because you said there was some ghost here or something.
Right. Exactly. Right. Exactly. There's a ghost in the building. I know that. We've seen lights go on. There's all kinds of things going on. I hear her talking, the clicking on the. There's something in this building. I've been telling you that for a long time. You hear toilets. When you're in the toilet, you have like people walking upstairs and there's no one in the building. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. There's someone in here. So we did table tipping. I made $15.
You pushed into the okay. door and broke the door.
Exactly. No. That door was something totally different.
Table tipping? Is that when you like get angry and turn over a table?
No, the table tips. Like, you know, like the, it rises,
like about
levitates.
You right now.
It's like seance with rocking tape.
So that exactly. ghost audio.
Right.
Yeah. What is this? Table tipping. Where
table
was it?
Table tipping.
Florida?
This was in Florida.
Right. What year?
This was just about 5 years ago.
And you want to explain table tipping? What is that exactly?
It's a seance where four people get on a table. It's a three-legged or four-legged table. And you put your fingertips on the table. And what happens is the energy comes through the table. The table starts to rock. You can ask yes or no answers.
It's almost like a Ouija board, but
with a table.
Yes.
And we open and close it and do what's to protect.
Right.
Wow.
And your fingertips are on the table. There's no way in hell anyone at the table is lifting this table up.
Right. You can't lift it with your fingers.
Yeah, we did it right here.
That's weird.
Yes.
Okay. Let's take a listen.
That's a little girl screaming.
Oh.
There was four adults at this table. That was it.
There was no girl.
No little
did
girls.
Did you hear that when it happened?
No.
You go back over the audio, then
play the tape recorder back. And
or one of the guys at the grave, yeah.
Can we hear that again?
Yes, and then there's actually a second instance of a scream later on in the clip.
Oh, yeah. what were you investigating here?
This was a haunted hotel in Florida. I stayed there for the night. And this is a friend of mine had started a table, and I decided to join in on it.
Oh, okay.
And this is how I first found out how to do this whole thing.
Oh, wow. No, it was
and
a
supposedly
success.
This little girl was attached to me, so.
Right.
Hmm. She was mad when I walked away.
Oh, gotcha. Well, is she still around you, or?
No.
How do you shake off a ghost girl?
You know, you have to go to other psychics and.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Do things. Yeah. You.
I mean, that kid is still attached to me that I had?
Probably, yeah.
Great.
This is why he hates kids.
I can take the HOV lane, right? Say, I got a spirit attached to me, right?
To. I got that next time.
You can't see the kid, but it's with me.
Right. All right, let's do one more, then we got to go.
This is the second instance of the girl screaming. Same clip, just later on.
Okay. What did it say? Hello, I love you?
It just, no.
The doors?
That's the scream. That's scream one.
Right.
And that's scream two.
Jeez. State police arrested two people after they found 420 pounds of marijuana in a U-Haul truck in Darien Friday afternoon.
I think it's 420.
420?
420. Sense of humor there.
420.
420.
Officials say a canine was alerted to the rear compartment of the truck, and the statewide narcotics task force responded and conducted a search revealing the marijuana. One guy, 27, one guy, 23, both of Los Angeles, both being held on a $100,000 bond, and will appear in Stanford at some point in the near future.
Got to sell the weed to get the bond out.
Right now on the show, attorney Christian Young. Good morning. How screwed are these guys?
Hey, good morning, man. Well, I wouldn't want to be in their situation right now. I mean, geez, talk about jackpot. Those are some tough charges, a tough situation to be in. And about the 420. I mean, do you guys really think it was 420? Or it was like 418 or 423. And the police are like, oh, that's so close. They like had to lean on the scale.
We got to round it off.
Oh, you think they pinched a couple pounds off there?
Right.
A hell of a cop party.
It seems, I thought the same thing.
Sense of humor there somewhere.
Right. Yeah, I'm like, was it really 420 or was it like 400 and, you know.
Well, you round it off. To the nearest. Yeah.
Exactly.
What kind of charges, I mean, what kind of time in prison does this bring?
It depends on a couple of things. One of the charges they're hit with right now is possession with intent to distribute. And that carries up to an exposure up to 7 right there. So they got a max of 7 you're looking at. But there's another charge that could come into play depending upon the circumstances, whether or not they're drug dependent. If they're not drug dependent at the time of the charge defense, there could be a mandatory 5 starting to serve and go up to 20 there. So
what does that mean? So if you're not an addict, if you're just selling it, it's a different ball game?
Yeah, so our legislature has chosen to discriminate between those people who are distributing to kind of support their own habit or as a part of their own addiction versus those who aren't users and who are just distributing stuff throughout society for their own economic gain, but they're not actually, you know, suffering from compromised judgment because of use themselves.
Can they make a case that they're addicted to weed?
I think they'd want to if they were charged with that.
I know, I'd want to.
I would start to. Yeah. Yeah, so you'd bring in experts or whatever. Right. Like if you're representing them, you bring in an expert or.
Sure, you bring in a mom and a dad, and the probation officer says these guys have been, you know, my kid's been, a mess for, months or years. You bring in anybody you can to say that they were, suffering under an addiction at the time of charge defense.
I've got coma. Yeah. Boom, done.
So when we were texting back and forth yesterday and you looked at the story, you picked up on something that I didn't, and it was that the canine was there.
Yeah, so I was wondering how they came across this. You know, was it just a random, jackpot lucky stop for a motor vehicle violation like failure to use your blinker? Or, was this really orchestrated in advance and then the state police chose to make it look like a random stop so they could save their sources? That's my question.
Yeah, because they had the dog with them. So, like you said, it's either luck or the other.
Or not luck. It was pot luck. These guys were targeted. But to make it look like luck and to make it look random, that way they can avoid the need of getting a search warrant, which would then reveal, some of the sources they'd probably rather keep to themselves if they could, if in fact that was the case.
Gotcha.
Right?
Yeah, right
then. Because, look, if these guys made a stop by the side of the road of a U-Haul truck and something about that stop led them to believe, probable cause, that there was some further criminal activity going on, they didn't have to get the dogs. I mean, if they smelled pot, if they found a whole bunch of cash, you know, along with some other indications that there was something illegal in the truck, they could have searched the truck. They brought the dogs in to kind of put the, you know, the cherry on top to really seal the deal.
Wow.
Yep. So I'm curious as to how they got into the truck, and, you know, time will tell. I think the case is down in Stanford this morning, I think.
Really? And that dog needed a lot of treats afterwards, by the way.
Yeah.
A lot of treats. Just kept on eating them, man. One, that's your fifth milk bone.
Yeah, I think you get a good treat from when you sniff out that. Yeah, his nose probably hurt.
Right?
Caught a buzz.
All right, Attorney Christian Young, thanks for coming on. So Mamsie's angry at Angelo. Does Angelo know?
One of the first things I said to him was, you smelled so bad. And he goes, poor Mamsie.
Oh, okay. Angelo is on the phone. He's the world's largest elf. Always shows up at Chesney J Toy Drive with giant bags.
Yep.
I thought it was his breath. So I was talking to you at the end of the night, and I thought, I felt so bad for your girlfriend. I'm like, his breath is humming, like dead flesh.
Humming.
And I thought, a friend would say something to him right now. And then I looked at her with this sympathetic look like, oh, man, poor you.
Right.
You should have seen Jen when she tried to give me a hug to say goodnight.
Ah! So I just shook hands.
I said, don't do it. Don't do it.
I just shook hands.
So Angelo was dressed as a zombie. And what, did you spray yourself with something?
Yeah, with liquid ass.
Liquid ass.
Oh, wow. Oh,
interesting. Yeah. How do you
and a couple other different things mixed together.
Where would you find something like that?
Why?
Where do you find liquid ass?
Yeah.
My underwear.
You can buy it on Amazon.
Really?
There's actually something on there that's actually a military grade stuff from Schomertech. It's called, I forgot the name of it. It's called, but it said for military use only. But what would the military be using something like that for?
Maybe
so
to disguise yourself
you can get
as a corpse?
Right.
I got to remember that. I'll show it to you next time I see you. But you can actually get a Q-tip and stick it inside the bottle and put it on the floor somewhere in someone's house, and it will stink out the whole house.
Really?
How much that did you put on?
I didn't have that on Friday night. That actually comes in a glass bottle with a wax seal top, and you could actually smell it in the envelope in the mailbox when it comes delivered.
Why do you have these things?
Seriously.
Well, my daughter and I have been zombies over at the Haunted Isle in East Haven at the Trolley Museum. We're in the Walk of Dead season, so we've been there for the past 8 years. So we're like the main zombies over there. So you got to smell like a zombie. You got to, you know, if you're going to do it.
No, you don't.
Yeah, you can have cologne on.
You don't really.
You make cologne zombie.
Nobody comes out of there saying, you know, those zombies look real, but they didn't smell like zombies.
Yeah, one smells like soap.
You know, no one.
Yeah.
No one thinks that.
But did you notice when you guys were on the stage when you were doing you know, picking out the winners and stuff, how the floor was clearing out little by little when people were standing next to me?
Yeah.
Wonder why
it lingered. Like if you. At one point early in the evening, walked past me and we just sort of brushed shoulders. And then you walked away. And 5 minutes later, I'm like, what is on me?
Yeah, that's wild.
I'm glad we didn't hug.
I thought it was your breath.
Well, Mamsie had a little bit more extra gummy bears that night to compensate for the
smell.
Oh,
my God. Her gummy bears are so good. I had them for the first time.
She's never going
to. She's the best.
She's perfected
it. Spot.
Yeah. No, you're done now, Angelo.
Monsters Ball was a hit. It was great. Great people always, you know, good costumes. You know, it's always a good time to meet with everybody.
And now Liquid S.
But 38 days and 4 hours.
To the Chaz and AJ McDermott.
To the Chaz and AJ McDermott Lexus Chevrolet Toy Drive.
Yes.
Almost got that.
I was going
to that's pretty good, though.
I don't know. Better than most.
Yeah. Did I do it?
You did.
How old were you? You always come with the bat. You always put us over the top. I remember so many years where we're doing the math and we're like, we're not going to make it. It's going to be a kind of a sad announcement, not a happy announcement. And then Angela shows up with the bags.
Yeah.
Yeah. You remember that fire I went into in New Milford where I ran into the building over there. Ever since I ran into that building, Jason Hines will tell you, I've been having breathing problems, breathing in all that smoke. Where I saved that woman and the two dogs in the building. And, you know, every now and then I get some issues with the breathing and stuff. So that year when I was talking to Pam, I wasn't sure if I was going to be able to do anything for you guys. I was, you know, I felt so bad. But it wouldn't be normal for Angelo not to be at a toy drive coming in with thousands of bags with a big conga line going from the stage out to the parking lot.
Did you just speak to yourself and refer to yourself in the third person?
Mm. Well, he's a zombie now. It's more like us.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, it's more his past self.
Right.
Yeah.
Exactly. Right. Yeah, so he's good now.
Yeah, okay. Yeah. That makes sense.
So we've been, you know, we started a little earlier this year because obviously there's a bigger demand, you know, for the children. And I've already ordered 100 bags already to start filling things up already. And
but now we got to fill them. We got to fill those bags.
Oh, we're going to fill them. We're definitely going to fill them. That's just a start. Just 100 bags, just a start. You know that.
Okay. I don't know. You're raising the. See, when you say that, I think everybody relaxes.
Yeah. No, you got to make it seem. You know, my God.
I don't think we should relax right now.
You have 10 bags. Only 10.
Right. It's December 6th.
Yes.
Toy drives.
You know
December
me. I'll start sending you guys pictures little by little, and you'll start seeing my garage getting filled up more and more.
Okay. Is there some link or whatever if someone can't make the toy drive and they want to drop off a toy to
we're
you?
We're going to, I apologize. We haven't set that up yet. I'm going to talk to Jason Hines. He's my tech guy.
I had a 2-hour phone call with Angela about 4 weeks ago and said the day after the Monsters ball, you know, the Monday after, we're going to announce this Facebook page and we're going to, it's like, doop-a-doop-a-doop.
Well, it's kind of been a zombie, so, you know.
To be fair, like he spent all weekend scrubbing liquid ass off of himself.
Right,
so.
That's right.
That's right.
Exactly.
All right, let us know when that happens, and thank you, brother. I appreciate it. We couldn't do it without you.
It's a pleasure. It's always a good time. Good people, good fun, all for a good cause.
Yeah.
All right,
Angel.
We'll be in touch.
All right. You don't smell like ass anymore, do you?
Well, my clothes are outside on my back porch right now, so.
Even the skunk's complaining.
Yeah, no one will ever break in.
No, they will not.
When skunks come and they hand you your clothes back and they have one paw over their nose.
This was the Jazz and AJ podcast. Thanks for getting through the whole damn thing. Subscribe now and please rate and review us. Unless you have terrible things to say, then please don't. Also, share this podcast with friends. Jazz and AJ in the Morning happens weekdays from 5:30 a.m. to 10 a.m. out of New Haven, Connecticut on the mighty 99.1 PLR.